This is David Duke. This is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent wherever they may dwell upon the earth. And ladies and gentlemen, never, never has a broadcast been more urgently needed for our people to hear than this one right here, right now, because at this very moment, many parts of Europe are aflame. Rioting continues to spread. We are literally seeing a glimpse into the future of Europe as Europe fundamentally changes from a European society to a non-European society. This is it, ladies and gentlemen. This is the beginning. And this will certainly wake up our people both in Europe and around the world. I just, this instant, finished writing a piece about this rioting and about what's happening in Europe today, and I want to share it with you urgently, and I will do so right now. I'm going to center this piece on an Associated Press article that first appeared on Friday, November the 4th, but certainly it has ramifications that reach throughout this incredibly dire situation for our European forebears and our European brethren. And I know there are many people in Europe right now listening to this broadcast, and I tell you, this broadcast applies just as much to the American people, to the Canadian people, and to the other European nations that face similar prospects to what France has faced, and Denmark, by the way, which has also suffered from terrible rioting and mayhem. The article again centers on a piece found in Associated Press. Let me quote a couple of paragraphs from that piece. Aubervilliers, France. Marauding bands of Muslim youth set fire to cars and warehouses and pelted rescuers with rocks early Saturday as the worst rioting in a decade spread from Paris to other French cities. The United States warned Americans against taking trains to the airport by way of the strife-torn areas. A savage assault on a bus passenger highlighted the dangers of travel in Paris's Muslim-filled and impoverished outlying neighborhoods where the violence has entered its second week. The African immigrant attackers doused the woman in her 50s and on crutches with an inflammable liquid and set her afire as she tried to get off the bus in the suburb of Severn Wednesday, judicial officials said. The bus had been forced to stop because of burning objects in its path. She was rescued by the driver and hospitalized with severe burns. Let me offer some commentary, ladies and gentlemen. All over the world, the mainstream media describes the rioters as, quote, youths. At every opportunity, the news on television will only show the scattered and rare white communists throwing a firebomb, while ignoring the overwhelmingly clear fact that these riots are driven by racial hatred for all things European. Once in a while, a little truth ekes out in the controlled media. The Associated Press article that I just quoted makes clear who the rioters are, and it shows the brutality of the savages who are turning centers of European refinement, culture, science, and civilization into examples of the darkest horrors of Africa. Now read the following paragraphs again from the Associated Press. Quote, a savage assault on a bus passenger highlighted the dangers of travel in Paris's Muslim-filled and impoverished outlying neighborhoods, where the violence has entered its second week. The African immigrant attackers doused the woman in her 50s and on crutches with an inflammable liquid and set her afire as she tried to get off the bus in a suburb of Severn. My dear God, African immigrant attackers throw gasoline on a handicapped white woman and set her on fire? Now you tell me how the mainstream press would treat this if white attackers doused a crippled, middle-aged black woman with gasoline and set her on fire. Tell me, please, would not every newspaper from Paris to New York to Sydney be screaming about this horrible, racist hate crime? Would not there be universal condemnation by the politicians against a vicious racial attack against a defenseless and handicapped African woman? There has been worldwide news recently that I may face hate crimes in Sweden simply for telling the truth about the downside of immigration and about the crimes of the Jewish supremacist Israeli state. Literally for predicting what has happened in Paris. Interestingly enough, my moderate exercise of free speech gets worldwide publicity as a, quote, hate crime, and I'm portrayed as a hate criminal, but not one major media in the world is condemning this racially motivated mob racial attack of burning alive a crippled white woman. Not one politician has dared to even mention this vicious act as a racial act of incredible brutality and sadism. What is happening in France is the same story that happened in New Orleans in the African aftermath of Katrina. The world heard of roving gangs of looters, but they weren't told that these gangs racially abused and targeted white people. In New Orleans, not only did the African savage gangs shoot at rescue helicopters and boats, they actually went into and terrorized children's hospitals and nursing homes for the old and infirmed. Mobs of Africans hurled racial abuse and attacked white men, women, and children. But again, no major media or politicians condemned these racially motivated physical, violent, disgusting attacks that went on in New Orleans. Now, do these acts of savagery in New Orleans sound like America? Hell no. They sound like Mogadishu, not like New Orleans, and not Paris. At least not the New Orleans and the Paris of our fathers and our mothers. And indeed, New Orleans and Paris and London and a host of other European cities are rushing headlong toward becoming more Mogadishus. Only the brain dead in Europe and America cannot help but realize that opening our borders to millions of non-Europeans is the most insane, treacherous, traitorous act in perhaps all of European history. Millions of Europeans have sacrificed their lives over the centuries to protect the freedom, the culture, and the very life of our European people. The politicians and media have literally given over our nations now to the invaders at the gates, and now our people pay the price. The price is just beginning to be paid. First, it will be our freedom, and then, my friends, our very existence. We are being driven to extinction under the attack of this ruthless hatred against us. Remember, they hate us even to the point of setting a poor, handicapped white woman on fire. Europe and America are under the lie of democracy, when in truth, it is an oligarchy of money, privilege, and alien loyalties that rule us. Every Pole and every American and every European nation has consistently shown that the great majority of our people have consistently opposed the immigration policy that now leads us to this apocalypse. But still, the government does nothing to stem the rising, dark tsunami of immigration and differential birth rates that threatens to wipe out our people. The media tells us that the multiracialism we're experiencing only blesses us. Rising crime, gang rape, teeming ghettos of hatred, and these barbaric riots are the real blessings of immigration, blessings that really are only curses to every decent impulse and nobility of our civilization. Only the brain dead can fail to see the bloody and bleak horizon for Europe and America and the ethnic cleansing going on right now before our eyes. We are being wiped away in our own homelands. Most Americans and Europeans already see this, as they rightfully oppose immigration and want the illegals sent home as fast as we can find the boats and the planes to do so. But now, Europeans and Americans must come to realize that simply wanting the protection of our nations, of our children, of our future is not enough. We must become active in movements all over the world that will give our governments back to our people, that will establish true democracy rather than the alien oligarchy of media and money that rule us. I am committed to our people's freedom and heritage. How about you? Why don't you get active today? Join a movement in your own country. Show some courage. Show just a smidgen of courage as your ancestors have shown since the earliest time of our European heritage. Help this website and others contribute to this cause. Be an internet captain and send this message to our people all over the world. You have 10 fingers. You have a keyboard in front of you. Reach out to your friends and neighbors and your people wherever they may live. Send this message. Copy this message. Post this message. Get this message to our people. I'm doing everything that I can possibly do. I'm willing to make sacrifices. Many other leaders around the world are also willing to make the ultimate sacrifice, even face imprisonment for telling the truth. Nick Griffin in Great Britain. Guillermo Rudolph right now in the United States and maybe in Germany. Ernst Sundell, who's now in prison in Germany, just for simply telling the truth about subjects that the media masters don't want you to know. I and these other men are doing everything we can. Join us. We don't ask you to face the danger or the lack of freedom that we may indeed face, but we ask you to do your part to help spread this word. Don't just wish for the future of your children. Go out and seize it. This has been David Duke for Our Heritage and Our Freedom. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's my message, and I hope you're as moved by that delivery as I am moved to speak it. This European situation is absolutely incredible, and again, we are afforded an opportunity to wake up our people by telling the truth about what's going on. The media can try to cover it up. They can try to only cover and interview or film the occasional white communist throwing a firebomb. But the average European knows that these are racial riots and that these people who are rioting are taking away our future. Not because of a riot. Right now, with a small percentage of population, they are literally putting France casting France to its knees. Imagine when they are the majority, ladies and gentlemen, and they will be the majority unless we stand up forthrightly for our heritage and our freedom. Ladies and gentlemen, there's more issues too. And one of the most disquieting things that I've heard, even on some of the more positive pro-white websites, has been a rounding condemnation of the French. Boy, the French get what they deserve, people say. Boy, it's about time. Ladies and gentlemen, you know who started that anti-French garbage? It's those same neocons that got us in this damn war. All the French did is said, my God, don't go running in this war. Don't go bombing Iraq and getting involved in this war. We don't think there are weapons of mass destruction. You have not shown us any proof. And before we commit to the killing of massive numbers of Americans and Iraqis and others and escalating this war of terrorism and hatred in the world, let's draw back and find the truth about these weapons of mass destruction. Of course, that was something the Jewish supremacist neocons did not want to hear, the Israeli firsters, because this was really a war for Israel, not for America. And so immediately they started issuing and pushing anti-France propaganda. Oh, how terrible the French were. We were their allies in the war, and now look how they pay us back. Let me tell you something. If we'd listened to the French, and listen to the voice of reason, and listen to the voice of truth, rather than the Jewish neocons and their media in America, 2,000 young American men and women would be alive right now and not in their graves with their families crying at their coffins. 20 to 30,000 Americans would not now be maimed, crippled, blinded, emasculated, are suffering searing pain now, or suffer such, many of them, for the rest of their lives. We would not have millions and millions of people being recruited for a terrorist war against us except for this illegal and this violent war that was not justified against a nation that had not attacked us and did not threaten us. We would not be spending $300 trillion of our precious American wealth. Wealth that could be spent, you know, for a healthier country. Less taxes in the hardworking middle class. In America, where many middle class people cannot even afford health insurance anymore. And that, to me, is one of the most basic issues that you have. Families that work hard, struggle hard all their lives, can be wiped out by a catastrophic illness of one of their children. But we will spend $300 billion in a war that's not our war, in a war for Israel, and spend our blood over there. France tried to save us from that. And yes, it's true, the French have adopted many policies of immigration. Well, have we not adopted those same kind of policies? America is threatened every bit as much as France and England and Germany are today threatened. We have massive immigration coming over our borders. In fact, we have more illegal alien immigration coming over. Do you think it would be good for the French to say, oh, they're good, give those Americans what they deserve, right? Ladies and gentlemen, we're all in this together. The Frenchmen are Europeans just like we Anglo-Americans are French-Americans over here. And so are the Italians, and so are the Spanish people of Europe, and so are the English and the Irish and the Scandinavians and the Eastern Europeans, the Slavic peoples. They were all Europeans. And I don't want to hear any more of this, you know, God, give the French what they deserve. People better start waking up and not just parrot back what we hear from the Jewish neocon individuals, the same people, by the way, who've opened our gates. David Fellows writes on Stormfront, just came in, he says, what a sad mess. France is a good example of what happens when immigrants are allowed in with absolutely no intention of assimilating into the prevailing culture and learning the national language. The same thing is happening in America with millions crossing the southern border. Just consider for a moment that there were no white people in Europe and or America, would all these problems suddenly go away? I don't think so. How about Los Angeles, where blacks are always robbing Korean-owned stores and Koreans are overtly racist toward blacks and Hispanics. In Florida, Cubans and blacks display mutual hatred and racism toward each other. It would seem that these problems resulting from mass thorough immigration cannot be covered up or solved overnight. So why get in the mess in the first place? And I imagine your point is there, sir, and I think it's a very apparent what the point is. Even if there were no Europeans, do not we have ethnic conflict all over the world? Why in the world would a nation invite such hatred and conflicts to exist? Again, it's that sick liberal ideology, this absolute faulty thinking. They want to believe human nature is a certain way, so they ignore the realities of human nature, and then they pay the price of human nature. They want to believe all people are good, so they say open the jails, and then we have it wild in the street. They want to believe all people are the same, so they say open the gates of immigration. They want to believe that all people will just get together and love and hug one another until infinity. But ladies and gentlemen, obviously, it's just not true, because there are inherent differences among peoples. The healthiest and the most law-abiding nations of the world are those nations that are the most homogeneous. That's the reality of it. And you can go to a country like Sweden, and there's almost no crime. In fact, the biggest parts of crime now in Sweden are coming from the massive immigrant population. I don't really blame the immigrants. I blame the Swedes for not protecting their own heritage. People will go wherever they can make maybe a better living, or where they can have more economic advantages. People will do that. People also certainly try to leave and escape any sort of tyrannical government. But we don't solve those problems of the world by taking those problems into our own bosom, into our own homes. We just literally transform our homes. We don't solve the problems of criminals by bringing the prisoners into our homes. Very shortly, our home will resemble that of a prison. In fact, a lot of people in the Western world now are living behind bars. It's as if we're in prisons and the criminals are out in the streets. Ladies and gentlemen, the criminals are out in the streets of France right now. So, ladies and gentlemen, I beg you, I really beseech you, if you are new to this cause, get involved in it. Don't be a spectator. Don't make this an intellectual exercise. Get out and begin to bring our message to the people who've got to hear it. It's up to you, really. I can't do it by myself. It's really up to you if we're going to turn this thing around. I'm committed to doing so. I hope that you indeed will do the same thing. An individual just wrote me, and by the way, it's from Swarthy Italiano. He says, Dr. Duke, you failed to mention the immigration policies being driven by rich white trader a-holes, that's his word, but who want to exploit these non-European immigrants because they don't want to pay their fellow Europeans decent wages and benefits. They claim there's a labor shortage. There's no such thing. There's only a shortage of desperate Europeans willing to work long hours for low pay. The truth is he's actually absolutely correct. But these policies, by the way, have not been driven by them. There have always been certain employers who would like to hire cheap labor from overseas if it's available. But always before, they've been stopped, because the will of the people is that we don't have that kind of policy, that we support our labor force at home. The truth is, these immigration policies have been driven by the same people who run Hollywood, by the same people who've changed immigration policies in the United States of America. Yes, I know, you're there, I can hear you saying it right now, we're talking about the Jewish supremacists again, but we are. They're the ones who've been the source of the greatest propaganda about the enrichment of multiculturalism. Specifically, in America and in Canada, I can show you how they literally had their hands on the mechanisms of change. It was they that used their lobbying groups to bribe and cajole and pressure and extort our politicians to vote for these policies. It was they who propagandized the people and made them drop their guard about immigration, even though, again, most people were opposed to it. It was they that lied to us and basically told us there was going to be no change in immigration. It has been their ideological driving of this issue that has really changed our society. to where we tolerate it. And yes, there are certainly whites that exploit the situation, and there are whites and Europeans who are brainwashed and been brainwashed, but the driving force for these things have really not come from within our own people. Europe, all of Europe practically, and all of America had very sensible immigration policies in the 1920s and 30s. That is before this group of people loyal to a super racialist idea, the idea of Zionism and the idea of Jewish supremacism, before they gained domination over our media. That's right. Before they consciously went to try to control as many of the chairs in the university systems around the United States and around the world. They made a team effort to control us. And yes, we were amiss. We were certainly not on our guard, and we made terrible mistakes. And really, we left our good judgment at home by not defending ourselves from this alien intrusion, incursion, this invasion by every sense of the term. And then, as they amassed power, they began to throw that power around. They began to enforce their power. And today, of course, they can literally put people in jail who dare to oppose them. As I said the other day on the website in stormfront.org, the town hall section, and by the way, you can email me at info44@davidduke.com. As I said clearly, in what they call the darkest days of McCarthyism, you know, he's the big boogeyman. He's the guy that the liberal Jewish media hates so much. And yet, McCarthy never dreamed of throwing someone in prison simply for even advocating communism. What McCarthy said was he didn't want people dedicated to communism controlling the movies and brainwashing our people, you know, especially if they weren't even known to be such, that the people would go to the movies and not even realize what they would be seeing was communist propaganda and not the American way. He didn't want these people in critical positions of government influence and power. I think those concerns of McCarthy were legitimate concerns. Today, the people in power are far more draconian and far more oppressive of freedom than anything McCarthy could have dreamed about. They literally want to put anybody who simply verbally criticizes them, who opposes them and opposes their supremacism, they want to put those of us who do that into prison. McCarthy. Yeah, McCarthy looks like a very mild individual, a very moderate individual compared to Jewish supremacists like Abraham Foxman, you know, Jewish supremacists as the late Simon Wiesenthal, Jewish supremacists such as Elie Wiesel, you know, I could go on and on. McCarthy was mild. He simply tried to protect our culture, our government, our people from the lies of these enemies. While these people who now dominate our government tolerate no dissent, they author hate legislation, where they can't get hate legislation because of the power of the First Amendment, even though they're getting closer and closer to it in the United States of America, where they can't do that. They simply try to use other means, force businesses, say, that have host an internet site, to turn off that site, to filter the internet so people can't even get their site in a government institution or a high school or some universities through filtering the political opinion, filtering anyone who dares to criticize them. They are the true enemies of freedom. This is something McCarthy never tried to do, but they do it to us every day. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to wake up. I hope you find the article interesting, and I hope all of you, as this broadcast now is over, we'll go out and take a look at davidduke.com, take a look at that article, my good friends on Stormfront Town Hall section. I hope that you go ahead and post the article with formatting on Stormfront very soon. In fact, please place it in a few places on Stormfront because we have such a good listenership, readership, in fact, on Stormfront. Get it posted on many different websites, you know, around the United States of America and truly around the world. Help me get this message out. I'm only one man. But with us all together, we can get the truth out. This broadcast and this article about the attacks in France, the riots in France, will go a long way to wake up our people. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thanks again very much for your patronage and your support. We need your support to keep this program on the air. I'm doing everything I can now. Give me a hand. Thanks a lot, everybody, and I'll see you tomorrow evening. This has been David Duke for our heritage and our freedom.